It's Ladies Night. Thank you for tuning in to Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk on YAT Radio, featuring the Proverbs 31 ladies. Join our host, Elder Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, where Apostle Kyron B. Buford is the pastor, and some of the most anointed women of God, in discussion on what God wants us to be and how to become that Proverbs 31 woman. Let's break some chains with the Proverbs 31 ladies.
Amen, amen. Praise God, and thank you for joining us for Breaking Chains with Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. This is your host, Elder Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia. And we thank you for joining us tonight. As is our habit, let's go before the throne of grace. Oh, Lord God, thank you for today. Oh, God, we need you. We need you today. We need you every day, Lord God. Oh, God, thank you for waking us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us as you always do. Thank you, God, for protecting and keeping us, hiding us and covering us, God. Lord, we repent right now of every sin, every attitude, shortcoming, failing. Lord God, every situation and circumstance, anything and everything that doesn't look like you. Oh, God, cleanse us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Wash us. Wash us, God. Cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. We need you today. We need you every day. We need you every moment. We need you every hour. Lord God, use us tonight. Use our mouths. Use our hearts, Lord God, to go forth. Use the words that come forth from our mouths, Lord God, to speak a word into the atmosphere, to speak a word into a life, to speak a word into a situation, to speak a word to a circumstance that will cause it to change. The words don't come from us, God. They come from you. Lord God, use everything that you've placed in us. Use it. Use it, Lord God, for the building of your kingdom. Use it, Lord God, for the betterment of your people. Use it, Lord God, to break chains and destroy yokes. Use every word spoken, Lord God, every prayer prayed, every revelation imparted, Lord God. Use it for your glory, because it's all about you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, let's prepare to go forth to possess the land. We've got work to do. Amen.
Stand near.
Stand near, Lord God.
to prepare to go in and possess the land. This is the year for us to go in and possess the land, to do those things that God has called us to do. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight is some of those little foxes that sometimes pop up to hinder us from being able to go in and take those things that God has already given us. Some of those little situations and circumstances, those little things. And it's a lot of just the little things. It doesn't have to be the huge things, but the little things that can hinder us from having everything that God intended for us to have. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Rosie, is that you?
Yes, it is. Good evening. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. The topic that I want to deal with tonight, dealing with our women tonight, amen, what are some of those things that tend to get us in trouble? And what I'm talking about is, you know, and I'm talking about saints of God. I'm talking about women of God, saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. I'm talking about women who have given their lives to Christ, that work for the kingdom. Amen? What are some of those situations that get us in trouble? I was, and maybe I'm being too transparent. Today I had a situation that happened that I just got upset. And, you know, last week we were talking about how we were going to work on speaking only those things that God tells us to speak. But, you know, how many of us know that the enemy knows what buttons to push? And a lot of the time when we get aggravated, frustrated, and we are just all outside of ourselves, usually it's the people that are closest to us that push our buttons.
Yes.
Is it just me?
No, that's not there.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it could be the people closest to you that can push your buttons. Your spouse, your kids, your brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ, your friends, the people that are closest to you are the ones that can sometimes push your buttons the most. And matter of fact, I think we mentioned this. Was this last week we talked about this on here, or was it in Bible study that we were talking about that?
I think it was here.
Yeah, we were talking about how do you deal with people that are closest to you. So I want to talk about this for a little while. What are some of those things, some of those areas, some of those little foxes that we as women really need to work on and help us get the fullness of everything that God has for us? One of the areas that I want to start talking about first is when we talk about our work. Amen?
Yes.
Our work. What do you think of when you think about your job?
Hello? What do we think about when we think about my job?
Yeah, when you think about your job, to you, what do you think? How do you feel about your job? Do you like the job? Do you like to work? Do you like to be? Do you like to be contributing to a business or making money or having your own business? You know, how do you feel about work?
Well, I'm not sure if I should answer this myself.
Well, let me start it. Me personally, I love my job. I love teaching. I really do. I really love to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I enjoy helping to open young minds. I love that. I love what I teach. I enjoy it. I love what I do. Now, you can ask 100 people, men and women, that same question. And you'll get a myriad of answers.
Yeah.
But one difference is, me personally, I feel like one thing is going to be very different between the women that you ask and the men that you ask. If the women have children, if the women have a family, there's going to be a whole different dynamic that's going to come into play when you're dealing with a working mom or with a woman who has a family.
Uh-huh.
You understand where I'm going?
Okay.
Because a man that has a family, that's what he's expected to do, technically, quote-unquote, historically. Men were expected to, quote-unquote, be the breadwinners. They were expected to go out and work outside the home, historically.
Uh-huh.
And women, historically, traditionally, were expected to be the caretakers of the home. Household engineers is what I like to call us. And they were expected to keep things clean, keep the kids tidy, make sure the dinner is ready and the clothes are washed and, you know, all that kind of stuff, historically, traditionally. However, now women are also expected to be outside of the home, to work outside of the home, to help take care of the home financially as well as physically, which adds a whole nother dimension of pressure to most women.
Yeah. Yes.
Adds a whole nother level of, a whole nother dimension of pressure. And before I go any further, I want to go back to our original verse, our original scriptures that we've been dealing with Proverbs 31, ladies, which is Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Where he sits among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. She and delivereth girls unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Now, when you read that scripture, she was a busy woman. She was a wife, she was a mother, she was a businesswoman, she sold, She could cook. She took care of her household. She was a real estate agent. She was a farmer, or she had a vineyard. She used to weave her own fabric. Come on, Pastor Rosie, jump in.
Mm-hmm.
She was a busy lady. She took care of the poor. She did a whole lot of stuff. And I think sometimes many of us are we seek to be able to juggle a lot of stuff like that as well. I think though there's a big difference in what we do today and what they did back then. What you think, Pastor Rose?
Well, yes, I know that were back then the lines were defined. There was man's work and there was woman's work, and neither the twain shall cross over.
Right.
And it's just the way it was just how it was, and each knew their so-called place, and they did it. They did what they had to do. I mean,
right.
Excuse me. And you mentioned that she had her own vineyard. Yeah, the men would have, back in those, the men would have done the plowing, you know, the,
yeah.
All of that. She would be the one who would tend the vines and gather the grapes and what have you and stuff like that.
Amen.
I said that we are in this time of grace, so we don't have to work like that. My mom grew up, and some of our parents, well, maybe everybody on this line is probably too young, but they grew up that way, where the
right.
woman actually was in the field, and she was in the house. And there was no things such as a man coming home and doing so-called woman's work. That was not heard of. And
that
was
not heard of.
That was a disgrace.
Right.
I didn't do that. It really
You're right.
But
You're right.
Now, I'm just going to say, in the 21st century, the limits are different.
Pastor Rosie, your line is going in and out a little bit, and it's kind of hard to hear you sometimes.
I have you on speaker, so let me take you off speaker, and maybe that helps better.
Okay.
Oh, is that better?
That's much better. That's much better.
Yeah. The 21st century is, it's almost like night and day.
Uh-huh.
It really is. It's night and day. However, and there's a sharing in the home now because both parties do have to work. And there is no so-called woman's work and man's work. It's our work to do it together.
But you know, in a lot of households, even though there is technically no men's work and no women's work, technically, however, in a lot of situations, a lot of things end up falling into the lap of the woman anyway. And a lot of women, you know, I must say this. To me, I think that one of the biggest issues, and you tell me how you feel about it, I think one of the biggest problems, honestly, that has befallen women in the 20th and 21st century is feminism. Feminism has caused more issues. Not saying that taking away the definitions of quote-unquote female work and male work, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. But when women kept screaming about separate, but I want to be able to do everything that a man can do. I can do everything a man can do. And men have stepped back and said, okay, do it. And so now we've kind of allowed ourselves to be put in a situation where, just like you were just talking about how your mother used to have to plow,
Can I be real?
Yeah, because there were not enough boys in the family, and farming was the way of life. So if you had more girls than boys, the girls had to do
what the boys had to do.
Yeah,
that's right.
There was no choice.
But what I'm saying is, a lot of women now are like, oh, I want to be able to do everything a man can do, and men, and they said, okay, do it. And I think in a way we kind of put ourselves into a pickle. Because, truth be told, I don't want to do everything that a man does. I have no desire to do everything that they want to do, that they do. I recognize that physiologically, I'm not made to do everything that a man can do. Spiritually, that's not my position. I don't want to do everything that a man does. That's not my position. That's not where God created for me to be. And I think this feminist attitude that started in the 20th century has put us into a situation where now we have more responsibility than many of us want, and definitely more than we need. What do you think about that, Pastor Rose?
Well, I don't know quite. I don't know if I can put what I'm feeling in words, because I'm just thinking of a lot of things. I'm thinking about the times of the age, you know, the times. And I'm, you know, could stay home and have children. There are many women out there who want to have children. There are many women who do not want to have children, and I know some
That's
of
true.
Them. They
That's
just
true.
Don't want to have children, just like there are eunuchs out there in the 20th century, those who, well, you know what I mean by that. But anyway, it's a choice. But I'm thinking that, you know, there's a family, the children. I truly believe that someone should be home with the children at all times. I really, truly believe that.
And that's one of the reasons that I'm saying this is because right now in our society, children are, in many instances, raising themselves or being raised by the state or by the
and
school
I think
system, pretty much.
I think that's a shame. But the thing about it is that, again, it comes down to choices.
Yes.
I have known and know women and men who have decided to downsize so that one of them could stay home with the children.
Uh-huh.
And they decided that the one who stayed home was the one who had the capability of earning less. And so that one stayed home with the children so they would have a parent at home. But that is a choice, conscientious choice of deliberately downsizing. And the thing about it with our egos and what have you, we don't want to downsize. We want to have what everybody else is having and more.
We are
subconsciously competitive with everyone else. You get a new car, well, why can't I have a new car? You get a new dress, well, why can't I have a new dress, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to do it, quote, unquote, God's way, this is me, then there may be some sacrifice in there.
You're right.
You know, and then once the children, and I really believe this, and once the children are not home forever. They go off to college and then they start their lives. And most people have children when they're young, and then once they're off to college, then you can go out and do your career, whatever you wanted, in freedom, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You asked my opinion, so that's my opinion.
Well, and you know what? I And I understand, you're absolutely right. People make choices. And I think one of the things that I look at in the statement that I made in starting this, in the statement that I brought up, was that the society has such double standards for women. Society has helped to create this conundrum that we find ourselves in. Because
and we are society who did it.
But it was like that when I came along. It was already like that. Society has dictated to us and said, okay, well, women, and it creates an inner turmoil. That's really what I'm getting to. It creates an inner turmoil with a lot of women, and that helps to, create some of those little foxes that I'm talking about.
It does create a lot of turmoil. And remember, we can't talk about the world on this subject. We're talking about true believers. And we're assuming that both partners are true believers. And if that's the case,
correct,
then they should be going to God and say, God, how are we going to raise these children? Father, what are we going to do? I mean, how should we do this? And,
Amen.
And
but
we know what the answer is
going
to be.
We're still being affected. Even people in the church are still affected by things in the world. You just finished talking about how a lot of people want to just keep up with everybody else. They get a new car.
Yes, that's a choice.
They get a new dress.
Yes.
And you're right. Also, when you're on a job, jobs are demanding. Well, you know, you have to work weekends. Well, you have to work one Sunday a month. Well, you have to work every Saturday. Well, you know, you have to stay late on these dates. You have to stay late. Well, you need to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning, okay? And all of these things play into and affect all aspects of our lives. And, again, I'm talking about women now, and some of the little foxes, some of the little things that cause difficulty and challenge in our lives, and how we will possess the land. How do we possess the land in the midst of the struggle? And the struggle being, okay, I want a family. Okay, I've got kids. Okay, I've got a husband, but I also need to work. Or I'm single, and I might want to get married. One day I might want to do some other things, but there is such a double standard in the world saying, well, you should work, well, you shouldn't work, well, you can do everything a man can do. No, you can't. So I'm throwing those out there. I'm just throwing that out there.
But that's just what you just said. The world said, but what did God say? Now, we're talking about Christians. And that's
right.
When the two of them come together and make that decision, that conscientious decision that one of us will be home with these children and do it God's way. And I know that God will bless that union. Not only will God, he will bless it in a way that man will earn more money than that will make up for her not working. God will never let us, when we leave things for God's sake and do it God's way, he blesses us. He does not forget. And I'm thinking about the scripture in Matthew where he told his disciples that one who left father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
And how they
gave up everything for my sake. Right.
That's right. And that's what I'm talking about there. That's a promise from God. And you know what? I'm thinking about Rochelle. I don't know if she's on the phone or not, but there is Sister Rochelle. Okay, Sister Rochelle, and I'm sure she won't mind me telling you this. Sister Rochelle made a decision that she was going to stay home and take care of her family and do whatever she needed to do. And her husband at the time wasn't, they didn't know how they were going to make it. He wasn't making enough money to support the family. But when she made that decision, they made it together, really, and she did that, he got a job making enough money to support the family without her even going to work. Now, that's what I'm right. talking about. God rewards us. That
Amen.
Is a promise. But we women, along with our husbands, because we can't do it without our spouses.
Amen.
Everything has to be out of order. Yeah,
that's
you would
right.
have to be. You'll be out of order if you don't. But if you put God first, go to Him, ask Him the questions, ask Him for the directions. Then He will bless you. He's the one who holds the purse strings. He's the one that touches the hearts of people to give you jobs, gives you abilities to make money in the first place. He's
Amen.
The one that touches the heart to give promotions. He will not let you be strung out there and fail. He will not let you do that.
Amen.
So,
now you're focusing on the financial and the child aspect, and that's great because that is a big part of this. But it's also the single people who might be struggling with, you know, how am I going to make it? I'm a single woman, and I want to eventually one day have a job, or eventually one day I want to have a family, or I really want a spouse. How do I navigate in this? I mean, again, yes, we're talking about people in the church, but a lot of people in the church are affected by what's said and done in the world.
That's why you have to have that relationship with God. If you don't have that close relationship with God, you're right. There's going to be a terrible struggle. You're going to be frustrated. All kinds of ugly feelings are going to come up, and you're going to end up doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be. It's vital that you have that relationship with God, and then you won't go through those struggles, even though the world is dictating otherwise. It all goes back to the relationship because
Amen.
God will direct your path. He promised us that. He will.
Yes, He
did. You are doing things His way and in order. And as far as, you know, and I'm talking about the single people now because you brought it up.
And
that single woman goes out there, she goes to college. She gets a degree to be a doctor or whatever, and then she falls in love and gets married. But before she does that, of course, having the heart of God, of course, she's going to marry a man with the heart of God. And all this stuff is going to be talked about before they get married.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you ideally God's way.
I understand that. But let's wait, but before you said they go off to college and, you know, they get the degree and then they want to get married and they find the right man. But wait a minute, while they're in the process of looking for the right man, they're looking.
They shouldn't be looking.
Exactly. But again, dealing with single people, talking about single people that are single women that are out there and struggling, honestly. Historically, churches are 80% women, still 80% with women.
Yes. Yes.
And many of them are desperately seeking a quote-unquote godly man. Quote-unquote.
I'm sad for those people. I'm very sad for those people. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. And that means a husband also.
Amen.
We are not. The Bible says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, not a wife who findeth a husband.
Amen.
So I do feel sad for it, and you're absolutely correct. It seems like 99.9% of the women are looking. desperately yep. looking, the ones that are single, and they dress a certain way, they act a certain way, they go to a certain place deliberately.
And can I throw this out
looking
there?
Looking for a man.
Uh-huh. Can I throw this out there? This time of uh-huh. this time of the year, it gets really bad. This time of year, it gets really bad. Around Valentine's Day, everybody got to go find a man. Oh, I need somebody to spend Valentine's Day with. You can't
yeah.
listen to the radio. You can't watch
right.
television. You can't go on
right.
the internet without seeing something in reference to having your quote-unquote special someone. And
right.
it can be a lot of pressure.
Right. I've been there. I mean, I used to be the same way. Here we go again, another holiday, and I'm alone. Doggone it, this year I'm not going to be alone, so I'm going to go out there and find myself somebody, so I won't be alone. I'll borrow somebody's man if I have to. I won't be alone. And so, yeah, I've been there. So I'm not talking, you know, off the top of my head. I'm not just throwing something out there. I'm really talking from experience. I've been there. You're absolutely right. I know all about that loneliness, that hole in your belly that you can't fill. You know, I
mm-hmm.
know about that. But the thing
mm-hmm.
about it is that when I was like that, I was watching all these other women who were who had partners. I was watching and listening to them and what have you. But, you know, with my daughter, when I was bringing her up, because I knew she was going to go through the same thing, I told her when she was in her 20s, and she's still not married. Actually, she taught me some of this, but I told her, I said, you know, down the road, you know holidays are coming up. So what you do is you start planning ahead of time something for yourself special. It could be a trip. It could be whatever
yeah.
that you want to do with your lady friends. And
yeah.
when I finally grew up in God, then I was not married at the time, then I could see clearly. And then that's what we, my friends and I, that's what we would do. We would have gatherings together, do things together.
And I'm glad you said that. I want to put a pin in that right there, because
uh-huh.
that is one of the things that I have learned. I've watched, especially young women. I've seen a lot of young women lately who will do that. They will have accountability buddies, accountability groups, and these are just a group of friends who hold each other accountable. They spend time together. They study the word together, and they hold each other accountable to the word of God. And I think that is so awesome and so tremendous and so necessary, especially in this season.
Yes, most definitely.
Especially in this season.
Yeah. And because, you see, that's God's way. I mean, you do it that way, and he will fill those voids for you.
Right.
And,
right.
But, yeah, I don't know what to say about it, but, yeah, yes, the...
But I just wanted to stick a pin in that. You know, I wanted to,
uh-huh.
when you said that, that's to me one
uh-huh.
of the most beautiful aspects of
mm-hmm.
friendship is when you have you and other single women who are friends and come together and hold each other up, especially
right.
during those difficult seasons and those difficult times, and hold
right.
each other accountable.
Right.
That's what friends are for.
Right. And if you don't have friends, and there are Christians who do not have friends for whatever reason, there really are quite
right.
a few who do not have friends, They could be shy. It could be whatever reason.
Right.
Now,
right.
Those people would have to do the same thing. You plan ahead of time. You don't let life catch you off guard. You plan your life and for especially like you brought the holidays, especially at holiday time, plan ahead of time to be a part of a group of people who are out there ministering to others through helping with food or through helping someone do some chore, whatever, you know.
Right.
It's
that's good.
Planning. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. I know from my own experience, some of my wallowing in self-pity was out of laziness because I didn't get up and catch life by the horn and go with it. Instead, I let life pass me by, and I would say, woe is me.
Wow.
So I couldn't blame anybody else but me. And that was,
but you know,
that's
a level of maturity right there when you can admit. That takes a level of maturity right there, just being willing to admit that, you know what, that was my fault.
Took many years before I got to that maturity.
Yeah.
But
it
yes.
takes a level of maturity to be able to get to that point to recognize your proclivities and your issues and say, okay, God, you know what, this is my fault, so let me do something about it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I remember
years
ago, this must have been about 13 years ago, Juanita Bynum and this other lady came out, and one was talking about no more sheets, and the other one was talking about single saved and having sex.
Right.
And you know, they were talking about what was actually going on.
Uh-huh.
And it's great to talk about what's going on, but we need to have an actual option. We need to have an actual something else other than saying, "Oh, well, okay, this is a problem. This is really bad. This is what happened." Okay, what can be done? What is practical that can be done to protect us from ourselves in those situations? Am I making sense?
Yeah. And there are a lot of practical ways out there, and we have already discussed some of them. There are many practical ways. There really are. Maybe, you know, there should be more workshops as far as I'm concerned. I don't know of any workshops, but there should be workshops on this for
Amen.
Young
one
women.
One of the things that I really love, one of the things, that thing you're talking about, you know, spending time with friends. I know at Bishop's Church, the young women were very, very close. The single young women. And if you look through the Bible, honestly, if you look through the Old Testament, you will notice the young virgins, they hung out together. If you pay attention, a lot of the Old Testament stories that you read, you will see where the young virgins spent time together. The maidens, quote unquote, spent time together.
Well, you're true. You're right, and there was a reason for that, because it was the culture, and the culture made it popular, made it you know, people didn't look down on you because you were a virgin. It was expected of you. If you were not a virgin, that's when you were outcasted. You know, an outcast. But it was an honor to be a virtuous woman, a virgin.
And I want to throw something else out there as well. I know when I got saved and I was visiting different churches, one of the things that I noticed, and this is, I guess this is cultural, but especially in the South, I noticed this. In Caucasian churches, it was more, you would notice that there were more groups of, there was more group dating, quote unquote. There was more group hanging out, the one-on-one dating concept. The churches really encouraged group dating or hanging out as a group as opposed to partnering off. And that was something that was really pushed in the Caucasian churches, but it was not so much in the African-American churches. And once I got saved and I started seeing this, I was like, you know, I was trying to figure out, now, why is that? That's what we really should be encouraging in our teenagers. We should really be teaching them the difference between dating and courtship. And courtship is really what we should really be going towards. That's what we should be going towards. And, again, going back to the main topic of what we're talking about issues that tend to cause women to have some problems, some of those little foxes. And we've started talking about, we started out talking about jobs and, careers versus family, and now we're talking about relationships, okay? So, again, what do you think about that, Pastor Rosie, the relationships, teaching our teens about courtship versus dating and group dating and things like that?
Well, I don't believe in dating.
I think
dating means one-on-one, and when you're one-on-one, you're playing with fire. And the only time you should be one-on-one is that you are engaged to someone to get married.
I totally agree. That's courtship, though.
There is
that
no reason. Why would you want to? Yeah, why would you want to date? You date because you want to be next to that person.
Right.
And you're going to get next to that person, and then pretty soon you're going to be a part of that person.
Right.
And your whole life will possibly be messed up. No, I don't believe in dating, and I don't think, and the Bible does not teach dating either.
It does not.
Going back to the Hebrew example, and God is the one who instituted that in the first place. It was what you said. The girls stayed with the girls and the guys with the guys, and when they did get together, it was in groups.
I totally
agree.
As
it should be.
I totally agree. And as a matter of fact, when I teach relationships to with my students, and we talk about this, and I let them talk, and they go on and they start talking about dating, and we talk about the levels of relationships and friends and in dating, and we talk about we talk about hanging out and talking and all of these different names that they have for different aspects of relationships, and what really amazed me. And I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about teenagers today, high school, middle school. It didn't matter. It amazed me at how early they started having sex and how casually, they feel about it. Again, these are generally people in the world, but you'd be amazed. I actually had conversations with kids in the church, and these were kids that I knew were saved. And some of their attitudes were pretty much the same as the kids that I taught. They had the same attitude. It's like, well, sex is just sex. And I'm like, but you are supposed to be precious. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you're dating somebody and y'all really love each other, and I was like, well, what is love? And then we get off into that conversation. And I let the kids talk, let them try to convince me of their point of view and blah, blah, blah. And then by the time I finish breaking down to them the physical issues with dating, the emotional and psychological ramifications of dating, and start breaking all that stuff down to them, they're like, okay, I get your point. Because honestly, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, dating teaches how to break up. Especially the younger you are when you start, it basically only teaches you how to break up. Because in middle school and high school, like I try to tell them, the average relationship lasts anywhere from if you're lucky, it lasts 6 months. You have a few that last a year, and you have the rare ones that last 3 or 4 years. But that's extremely rare. On average, they last somewhere between 5 and 6 months. And then after that, you know, all this emotional and psychological damage is done. I'm not even going into the physical aspects of it. One of the things I used to teach was abstinence education. And in dealing with that, they said that 50% of the people that have sex the first time get sexually transmitted diseases. So, and a lot of them were in middle school. That was the crazy part about it. A lot of these kids were in middle school. And so when I try to talk to them, we're talking about teenagers right now. Now, if we're talking about middle schoolers and teenagers who are already into what they call, quote-unquote, friends with benefits, they're already into all these different relationship aspects. When they get to college, they already wide open. They already out there doing everything under the sun that they know how to do. How is this affecting their spiritual walk? How is this affecting their relationship with Christ? And we're talking about not just people in the world. We're talking about kids in the church.
They don't have a relationship.
So, again,
there will have to be a lack of a relationship there.
And in dealing with the young women, when they come into the church or when they get older and are in the church, now you got women that got other issues. You got all this baggage from all of these relationships and all of this hurt from all of the brokenness and all of the damage that has gone on in each one of these relationships. And that's part of the issues, that's part of the little foxes, that's part of the things that they got to deal with.
Well,
anybody want to comment on anything that we've been talking about so far? Okay. Well, we'll keep on going. Pastor Rosa, what do you think about those things that I just said?
Well, I can't disagree with what you just said. I mean, it's true.
So basically, in order, we're not going to be able to finish dealing with this tonight, but in dealing with all of this, how do we help fix this? How do we help fix all of this? What are some things? What do we do to deal with this?
Well, I'm talking about Christians. You know, it's God in the home, but you know, people don't necessarily get what they need in the home because the home, the leaders of the home, may not be mature spiritually themselves, but if we have these, you know, that's a very broad question. One thing is that churches need to be more responsible in having, well, I have to go back to workshops, and not only just workshops, educating the women, the young women, the older women, the children.
Okay, so you're saying the church needs to be more proactive.
Most definitely.
The church needs to be more proactive and actually more aggressive in trying to teach the right what we're talking about right now.
Most definitely.
Amen. Amen.
That's just one. Well, yeah. Yes. It starts at home, in the house of God. Yeah.
Right. Amen.
If they're
Amen.
Not getting it at home, you know.
Amen.
Because if they don't
Amen.
Get it at home, they definitely should find it in the church. Definitely.
And you're absolutely right. But unfortunately, too many churches are afraid to deal with it because they're going to step on toes. Because this is going to step on toes. If you actually deal with it, it will step on toes.
Yes, and you have some parents who are in opposition to what you're saying and doing. Yes,
you're right.
Most definitely. Most definitely. But that still doesn't negate the truth.
That's true. And that's something that we definitely need to deal with. Because we at this point, we have had several generations. We've had many generations of broken people because of a lot of the things that we're talking about. And we're dealing with women specifically, but also it affects men. We're dealing with damage and brokenness that comes from broken relationships and expectations and conflict between the world, what the world tells us and what the church tells us. And a lot of them are ill-equipped, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, ill-equipped to deal with the conflict within themselves as well as the conflict that is in society as well.
Yes, and again, if they're not getting it at home and they do come to the church, I don't care how young they are, they should be getting it there. This equipping should definitely be in the church, even for smaller children. That equipping should be there.
You're absolutely right.
And, wow.
You're absolutely right.
But
You're
it takes effort.
Right.
It takes effort, and it takes amount of time. And who's going to do it? You know.
Uh-huh. And that's why we're here. Amen. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, to equip the saints. Amen. That's our job. That is the job of the people of God in the house of God. Our job is not to run from, but to run to go ahead and to train up and to help gird up and strengthen and teach and train. In Titus 2, the job of the older women was to go and to train up the younger women and to teach them the things that they needed to know and needed to do. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Well, you know what? We're gonna stop right here because there's so much more that I want to deal with, and we'll be able to deal with a lot more next week. I think that this has been really good. What do you think, Pastor Rosie?
Well, I've enjoyed it. I think it was very, very timely.
Amen.
Very timely. I hope those who will listen online sometime in the future, near future hopefully, will get something out of it. I'm sure they will.
Amen.
You know, you're always blessed by the truth, whether it hurts or not.
Amen.
By the truth.
That's when the healing can start, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
That's when the healing can start. Amen. Pastor Rosie, will you pray us out tonight, please?
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just come to you tonight with our mind, with our heart on you, God.
Yes,
we just give you all the praise and honor tonight.
And Father, I just thank you so much for this Bible study that we have had. And as I said, it is so timely. Father, it is a difficult subject. Not difficult for you, but it is for us. But
Amen.
It needs to be taught, and it needs to be received.
Yes,
and God, only you, God, can give us courage to do so, and only you can equip us to teach it, and only you can equip those who are in their hearing to receive it, God.
Yes,
so
Lord.
It's my prayer, Father, that you do touch the hearts of your people. And we're talking about Christians, God. I pray
yes,
that you
Lord.
Do touch
yes,
the hearts, Father.
Yeah.
Soften them and help them to receive. Help us all, Father, to receive in those areas that we should receive. We are never too old, God, to learn. We're never too old to receive the truth. And your word is truth, God. It applies to us older ones also.
Yes,
Father,
God.
We have been
yes.
negligent and negligent in areas. And Father, I ask for forgiveness tonight.
Please,
not for
Lord.
My just for myself and for all
yes,
of us,
Lord.
God, where we have
yes,
been negligent,
Lord.
Father. Not doing
yes,
those things
Lord.
That we should do. Not training those that are under us, God.
Yes,
Father,
God.
I do ask for forgiveness, Father.
Please, Jesus.
Father, help us to walk this out with in the power
yes,
of the
Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus.
In
and God,
name.
I just again, I just thank you for this time.
I thank you
for all who have listened tonight, and I thank you, Father
yes,
God,
God,
for those who will listen in the future in the archives, God. I
yes,
thank
Lord.
You for them, and I pray a holy blessing on them that they
yes,
will
Lord.
Receive from you, God, and just
mm-hmm.
be blessed, that their eyes and ears will be open to your truth, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
And your word truly has gone out tonight, and I know, Father, that it has done and is doing a great work in us, and I just thank you, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Bless
thank
us. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that when we return
yeah,
back here on this line next week together, that God, that we won't remember, that we won't forget what we have learned tonight, but
yes,
you will multiply it in us, God. Increase us in your truth, God, so that we can go out and do those things that you have commanded us to do, Father.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Praise you, we bless you, we thank you, God. Thank you for this time and
thank
these
you,
opportunities
thank
to
you,
give
Lord.
Your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us for Breaking Chains with Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. This has just been such a blessed night. We just thank everyone who's been online with us tonight. We love y'all. Thank you for being with us, and we'll see y'all next week. Amen. Praise God. Love y'all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.